Amanda Dixon is the longtime host of Utah's Morning News. You can hear more of her each weekday morning between 5 and 9 here on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to A Woman's View here on KSL News Radio. Such a pleasure this week to have Jill Atwood with me. She is the communication strategist for the VA. And today, since I am focusing on teaching and education, I invite Jill because she is also an adjunct professor in the communications department at the University of Utah. Kim Gardner is with me, a teacher with 33 years experience in both elementary and middle schools, and the chairperson of the Colonial Heritage Festival. And Dr. Delana Tonks is my guest, executive director of Mountain Heights Academy, which is grades 7 through 12 entirely online here in the state of Utah. Can I ask you about, now this is going to be a particularly challenging question for you, Dr. Tonks, but I want to ask you about cell phones in the classroom. And here's, and I'll start with you, Jill, because you mentioned about how the kids are always on the cell phones. So I know it's a different question. It's a different question in all three of your contexts, but when I substitute teach in public school, the teachers who have policies that put the cell phone in the little holder thing, those classes I have far less trouble with than when the kids have their phones. I'm sure I would be the worst offender were I in sixth grade right now and had access to a phone all day long, or 10th grade or whatever. So I don't know how we address this problem that feels, it just feels like it's everywhere. How do we, I don't know, Jill, speak to me about your experience.
Well, obviously I don't have a say. At the college level, they're paying to be there. So for me to say, hey, hand over your cell phones, they laugh at me. So half of them are charging them in the class like it's their lifeblood. They walk in, they're on it, they got their AirPods in. I mean, it's their life as they sit there before class begins. I have to say, I don't have a huge issue with them once the lecture starts or once we start getting into the meat of the class or have writing assignments. Like I think they've figured out, okay, time to put it aside for an hour. I've got to engage in this class at least a little bit. So no, I don't see a problem when I'm lecturing. I don't see someone tuned out and on their phone. When I put them in groups and they do their group work and they interact and engage, I do see some phones come out, but they seem productive. They seem to be having a good time connecting. So I don't have a huge issue with it. In general, as a mom with two high school students, I hate it. I think they should be putting it in a bag in the front of the classroom, because my little one, I'm like, how do you not fall down more or bump into a wall with this phone that's attached to you? Like, come on, garbage in, garbage out, kid. Let's get rid of the phone. So I would fully support that. My 17-year-old is texting me from class. I'm like, why are you texting me in the middle of class? And then Amanda, you wrote something on Facebook that you were guilty of texting your kid. And I was doing the same. And I'm like, okay, she's right.
Not anymore.
My kid anymore.
I had to make a pledge. I will not text him in the middle of the day. I will not respond to him in the middle of the day.
No.
Unless you text me and say, there's blood gushing out of my leg. I am not responding to your, you know, what's for dinner text at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Or I need money, mom. I need money, mom. Yeah,
right.
That one.
Brilliant. So my question to you then, Kim, because I know that you struggle with this all the time, is does this need to be a law, or is this a school by school decision, or how do we do this?
Oh, that's a hard one, because I don't know enough about rules of law to say whether it can be. You and I spoke about this earlier, and in our school, the last couple years, our school, I don't think it's a district policy, but our school has made a policy that from bell to bell, phones and ear pods and earphones are off, out of sight. Now, I still see phones hanging around in pockets, so I know things are happening. We know it's happening when they go into the bathrooms and things like that, but it has made a huge difference, and the amount of engagement in my class is better. In the hallways, I think there's less bullying. There's less things happening in the hallways because of it. I know a couple years even before our school had the policy, I had my own classroom policy that if I saw the phone or if I heard the phone, so even if it fell out of their pocket, landed on the floor, I heard it, then I would take it to the office. But now, yeah, if kids are seen with them or if they go off in class, we're allowed to have them taken to the office, and there's, I think, the first offense that it just goes on a little record and they get the phone back. Second offense, I believe they contact the parent. third offense, I believe the parent has to come in and get the phone. And we've actually had parents that have been called and the parents say, great, keep that phone for months. I don't care. I applaud those parents when they say that. But then on the flip side, I have parents that are texting their kids in the middle of class, and then they get upset when their child is not responding back. I had a child come up during a test the other day and said, my parents are texting me. And first of all, I was thinking, well, how do you know? Because your phone should have been away. But I allowed them to go to the safe zone in our school, which is our office, to see if it was an emergency or something. And I think parents don't realize that we will get messages to kids. Call the office. They'll get an emergency message down within, 30 seconds. They'll run it down. And we're not trying to make the kids not be able to communicate with their families. That's not the purpose.
No. So how do you handle this, Dr. Tonks, when so much, I would think a lot of digital education, online education even happens on the phone. So it's almost like the students in these situations have to police themselves. It's not that they have other kids around them necessarily with phones going off.
Yeah, it's a little different in our setting, and we are also asynchronous, meaning the students can access the content 24/7. It's not set up like, okay, you go to English at 8 and science at 9, and the content is available. It's all due Friday by 6 p.m. So there's a hard deadline, so we know they're moving through, and then teachers are available to help them during 4 office hours every day. The way that we have looked at this philosophically, though, is through local control and personal responsibility. The lens of, okay, who's responsible for what? The school is responsible, in my opinion, for providing a school-wide policy. It benefits families to have a school-wide policy instead of, and you've all experienced this, right? Your kids get into junior high and every teacher has a different policy for late work, for phones, for all the things. And so a school-wide policy benefits families. Second, school is a partnership between the school and what they provide as an offering, and the parent and the student. And what are the which pieces are the parents responsible for? Which pieces are the students responsible for? And which pieces is the school responsible for? And I think if we look at that through the lens of that local control with the backdrop of a school-wide policy, if there is a law, then let the local districts and the local schools put into place policies that will best support their families. They're closer to the problem. So that's my
absolutely on that. I say amen. Amen to all of the above. Another quick break and we'll be back. This is a special edition of A Woman's View on Conference Weekend here on KSL News Radio.